Casey. Windy on I-85 at exit 35, heading towards the QTH in 0TR.
Visit, Cap.
It's fine. He's an excellent doctor. I really like him. His name's Dr. Yusuf. And then we left there and went to Sam's Club. And give me a couple of little things to put between my toes, which are kind of different. And so I kind of felt that before I got out of there. Of course, my foot was hurting anyways. But he's going to order me some new inserts and from a different laboratory so that they'll be softer. These other ones are like walking on rocks, and he knew it. He told them not to do that, but they did. So he'll just order them from a different lab.
These are like custom-fitted orthotics. Is that what they are?
And you know, my brother-in-law used to wear some of those, and he bought them at the Kansas State Fair. I'll never forget that. They look like fiberglass. Oh, I couldn't stand that at all. These are made out of cork that they made me, and they're very, very hard. And they're just too painful, Jerry. And so they have an iPad now. Used to be you stood up on this thing and they'd scan your foot. Now they have an iPad and they just go around it in different motions and take a picture of your foot and they make the orthotic exactly to your foot within a few thousandths.
Tango Mobile.
Hey, Rusty. That's pretty cool, Tom. I've got some Mephistos that are made in France, I guess. They have cork footbeds, and they were comfortable for me for years. And they changed the makeup of the sole itself instead of insert, and it's really difficult for me to wear for any length of time now. Go ahead, Rusty.
Hi, good afternoon, Jerry. Good afternoon, Tom. And all, because it is afternoon. Anyway, I hear Tom talking about his feet. You must have been down to see your person today. I'm not going to make it over there today, by the way, Tom. Got a couple other places I have to go, and then I've got to go to Easley in the morning. So, I probably, it may be Sunday afternoon before I come see you, if you're going to be there, Tom. WUGT, go ahead, Tom.
It's fine, Rusty, no hurry. We're passing a truck pulling a trailer with a Volkswagen on it. It's got those very rare, teardrop-type windows in them. I'm sure Jerry knows. But I don't. Yeah, we've been over to Henderson, and then we stopped at Sam's Club and left our honorary deposit there. And out here on I-85 among the 80-mile-an-hour idiots.
They're fine. We got to head over there about 3 today, so hopefully we'll get them, pick them up, bring them back over here, and kids go out on the boat and they'll come back and pick them up on the way home this evening, so we'll have to keep them overnight. But I always enjoy coming over here. But Tom, if I mentioned it to you, I might have forgotten, but I was curious how the spectrum transfer wound up being after you got everything done.
No joy. I don't follow that. You mean down there? You mean down at the VA? You said Spectrum. I'm thinking Spectrum Analyzer, Jerry. I'm sorry. You showed me a curve there. I'll get my head straight. I'm not used to driving at the speeds they're driving out here. But you got to keep up. Jerry, it wound up great. I got unlimited, and we're using Waze now, because I never would use it before, because I had a 5-gig data plan. But it's, we was talking to the guy in Sam's, and he couldn't even, I told him what we was given, and he didn't even bother to look it up, and he was from AT&T. But it was $63.99 compared to $90.45 from Verizon, and I have unlimited, and Bernice has 1 gig, which she'll never use. So we're very pleased, Jerry. Over.
That sounds right. That's the same thing we're going to do. I got one phone I got to pay off, and then I'm going to switch over sometime between now and December, I think. Rush, you go ahead and pick it up. Didn't mean to leave you out, but I wanted to see how Tom's transfer of cell service turned out.
Right along here. I got to go over and get my glasses adjusted. They keep sliding down my nose, which means the nose pads have gotten out of alignment. So I got to go back over and get them to adjust it. I don't mess with those things, because if I mess with it and break it, then I've got to pay for it. If they mess with it and break it, then they've got to pay for it. So anyway, well, glad that's working out for you, Tom, and everything is doing good there. And yeah, I like Waze when I'm traveling. It makes it a lot easier, and it gives you a lot of information. Traffic slowdowns, cops slowing down traffic. You know, all those good things pop up on your screen, so, and tell you what's going on, along with being able to follow where you want to go. So I've been using Waze for a number of years now, and I really like it. I had something else I used, but it doesn't work as well. And so anyway, I see gas over here down near me is down to 327 at one station, 328 at another. So that's getting it down there, at least. Keeps going down. And somebody the other day put a picture up on Facebook. They found gas at 280 something a gallon, 289, I think. And so, you know, it's things are changing, but they're not changing all that good, I don't think. And some dumbass just tried to run over to me when I made the turn around that corner back there. Oh, well, that's life. Go ahead, Tom, WU2 T-Mobile.
This is N0TR Mobile. Well, I hope you're doing better with your respiratory tract infection there, Rusty. You sound a lot better. Gosh, I lost my train of thought. There's people switching lanes out here and slowing down and watching that carefully. There's no hurry, Rusty, to get over there. I got that Valon laid up for you, and it's not going anywhere, buddy. So, whenever you can get there, and I'm glad you're over that, because I definitely don't want to get hold of that stuff. But our sound system on our TV went out, so I got one it's a Bose, but it was on sale, Jerry, and it's a lot shorter than that great big long bar. I just want something that sounds a little better than the TV sounds. And I was debating whether to get one or not, but we had this other one for quite a number of years. It was, what was the brand on it? Vizio or something like that one. El Cheapo, anyways. But this Bose ought to be a good one, and it was $179. And so it was within reason. Some of those things are real expensive, and they got subwoofers and all that stuff. I don't need all that stuff just for TV. Go ahead, Eric.
We're in the group, PIN4DJC. My daughter's son-in-law that got one with their TV, the other one's got the subwoofer. And to be honest with you, those low frequencies, Tom, I can't hear them anymore anyway. And my Sony TV has got a pretty good sound system built into the TV. It measures the room somehow or another sonically and bounces back and forth. I also have a couple of the Apple mini pods, and they do the same thing. They connect to the stereo stuff, and you can turn the... They don't have the tone adjustable on them, but they are pretty good. You can actually turn the bass off of them where it doesn't have such a deep bass, but you can stick them anywhere in the room. They measure the room, and the sound's pretty appropriate, but it's not as good as a 5-to-1 or something like that, but my ears are not good enough to be able to appreciate it anyway. Go ahead, Rusty.
Yeah, Roger, my sister's got a surround sound system in her house, and she's had it for a number of years now. It's not, and she's got, you know, speakers mounted up on the wall, on the front wall of the room, behind where the sofa and the chairs are for seating, and then she's also got, you know, speakers over around by the TV and up on the cabinet above the TV and all that stuff. My Vizio's got a pretty darn good sound system on it itself, so I don't need anything else. I don't know where I put all that stuff. It's just what it is, and I'll deal with it. So, anyway, I got to go over here and get my glasses adjusted. I'm about there, so I'm gonna go ahead and sign with y'all here because I got to go through, cross this intersection, and then make a turn into the parking lot for where I got to go into. We'll catch you both later. N0TR to take it with N4DJC. This is Whiskey Uniform 2 Tango. 7-3s for now, Tom.
Yeah, fine business, Rusty, on all. Jerry got a little stretchy there for a minute, but now we're climbing the hill here, I think. And the repeater's doing real well all the way over there. Usually, out there about where that Doppler radar is by WYFF4, it starts getting kind of iffy. It did not this time. So, very pleased with the Bars repeater. And thanks for the use. Bernice has a little problem with her hearing, and we had to send her hearing aids in a few days ago, and she's got one of the old ones. And she lost one during the mask period where you put on masks, and she pulled the mask out and threw that hearing aid out, and we never did find it. But she's got a new set, but they're eating batteries every 2.5 days, and they said, no, that's not right. We'll send them in, and they're still on warranty, so no problem. But anyways, the sound system clarifies voice in that, and I just thought it would be a good thing to replace. I was debating that, too, because this Samsung is a 65-inch, and it does real well. I don't have a problem with it. I kind of got used to the external sound system. But I don't care anything about those low bass frequencies. All they do, if I pull up alongside a car that's got those, I just think, well, Harvey Vins is, he'll never be able to hear his grandkids. So go ahead and run them that loud. I seen one in Joplin, Missouri one time, Jerry. And I think it said it was 168 decibels. And I looked in the back seat of that little fastback car, and it was all plywooded in and had speakers in it. And this young man that kind of matched that type of system come walking up, and I asked him, I said, you can't possibly play that loud in there, or it'll break your windshield. And I said, I do know a little about electronics. He said, come with me. And we walked around to the front, and it had broken the windshield in the front of that car. That's N0TR.
TR N4DJC. Man, 150 decibels, that's like 30-06 level sound pressure. That's terrible. Yeah, we don't have much of that. We don't have anybody in the neighborhood that does that, that has cars or loud sound system. We see where trucks get the whole bed of the truck turned into that sort of thing. But they do have a noise ordinance here, and they enforce it a good bit, too. I don't hear them like I used to some years back. But that's kind of a waste of time for me. My ears can't discern the real low pressure stuff anyway. Low dB, I mean, not low dB, but the low hertz stuff, I can't hear it, and I can't hear the upper. I got a little tinnitus in the ears, too, but right here, better than the left. Yeah, I don't have wear hearing aids yet, but I'm going to have to at some point, my left one at some point in time, more than likely. But just not, the high fidelity stuff, although I do have still have some nice speakers here that I use for stereo stuff. But I use mine, I've got a little 50 watt per channel amp, and it's a Bluetooth, and I just stream my stuff on there. And I've got a Bose Wave radio that, with a CD changer and all that, I got when my father-in-law, mother-in-law had it when they passed away. We got it, and it does really good. The radio didn't pick up very well, though, because I'm down in the hole. I'm going to have to get an external antenna to pick up any of the stations far away, but it works really well. This is one of the last ones, too. It's actually made in the USA instead of made in China, too.
This Bose is from the United States Corporation, but I looked at the back by the barcode and it said made in Thailand. Thailand When I was in Vietnam, all the B-52 drivers were from over at Utapau. I remember that. And they said it was a good country, and it was favorable to the United States, put it that way. So I don't mind that so much. But we're out here top golf now, Jerry, and so we'll be getting off the highway here pretty quick in the Michelin man place here. And actually, there's a carload of Toyota cars. My daughter's been looking for a new Highlander. And you know what? You got to order them at manufacturer's suggested retail price. They don't have any, Jerry. They send her to you.
That way, my son had to get his Tacoma. His extra cab. He just got a basic truck, but they were getting some in, and we knew the dealer real well. We didn't have to pay a deposit or anything like that on it, but they held it for us for them to get a look at it. But the Islanders are in big demand then also before they get there. And I was talking to one guy who said that he was looking at one of these Tundra, high-end Tundras. And he said it was going to be $82,000. So they were adding a $14,000 upcharge from MSRP on it just to be able to get it. And I said, I'd have to walk on that unless I lived in it. That's $80,000 for a truck. I said, that's unbelievable.
This is NJLTR. I saw a guy, he was on one of the newsreels or something there on the computer, and they're showing him standing outside his car, and Tesla had shut his automobile completely down. They can do it from the factory until he paid $26,000 for a new battery. Oh, geez. Well, the government's given all these automobile companies loads of money to change over to, bribing them to change over to electric. So, if you're going to get a new one, I guess now's the time if you want an air aspirated engine. But I think Amy said that one was $49,000 for a Highlander, but there's no way I'd give $80,000 for a truck. That's just out of the question, Jerry.
If it's pretty well equipped, $49,000 is not a terrible price for them. They're all, we're kind of at their mercy. And I noticed the when they did this tax credit for the electrical vehicles and all of them, they had to have everything made in U.S. and union labor type stuff, that Ford took their truck was like, it went up to like, I think they gave it to the people where the price of the car was under $75,000. And of course, as soon as that thing passed, Ford promptly raised their truck to just under $75,000. So they're just going to make that much more profit on it. Like you said, they walk among us.
Jerry. I read an article, it's been a few months back, so don't hold me to this, but they said there was a waiting list on the electric Ford F-150. And it was $100,000, but then it was going to go to $120,000 or $125,000. No, the one Amy is going to get is the Platinum model. So that'd be like your Limited in the Avalon, or like your Accord or Acura, either one. I'm not sure on that. But those Accords are beautiful. I really like those, and so do you, don't you, Bruce? But this has got 8,910 miles on it, Jerry, and I don't really have to go get another car, and so at my age, I don't think I'm going to do that. I thought about it, but I think I'll just pass, because they're going to get you one way or the other when you go to a car dealer.
I really love my Accord. It's a lot bigger car than the Camrys, the older Camrys were. It's about 6 inches wider than the 2007 that we had. I think we had 2007, 2008, something like that. And we drove it for a long. We drove the first one, a 92. We drove it for like 14 years. And the other one was, mine might have been 2008. I got, in 2007, I got, and I bought it from the company when I when I basically retired. It had about 175,000 miles. I put 100,000 miles on it and sold it before I bought it from before. But we're going to hang on to the Accord. The only thing about the Accord that I think is a little bit of a problem for some people is the back seat, because of the way that the rear window is that slope. You don't have quite as much headroom getting in and out of the car. Now, once you get in the car, you're okay, but it's a little, you know, if you have trouble getting out of the car, the back seat is not for older people. The front's fine, and it drives great, rides good. If I'm out on the highway and I run the AC, mine will get over 40 miles to the gallon. It's, you know, it's not a hybrid, it's just a standard four-cylinder turbocharged.
This is Gerald TR Mobile. Yeah, Jerry, that sounds good. It really does. Dave Watson's got, his wife has got a hybrid in the Avalon, and he says they do really good with it. I didn't think that the hybrid Camrys, when they first come out years ago, really got that much better mileage to justify having a battery in it. But I think now that they've got the technology down and are doing quite well. I like the Priuses and their bigger models, but heck, they're up over 40,000 now. And I think the Camry, this is the last year for it, and they're going to replace it with that Crown. And it just sucks, that's all. My neighbor looked at them too, and he said the same thing. So I imagine down deep they've cheapened it and want you to think you're still getting an Avalon, but there's no way. And that's a typical problem for a lot of design is if you use the back seat and people are getting in and out, they can bump their head on it. That's not privy to the Accord. But wow, that is a slick automobile. I really like it. Ours is just a 2011, Jerry, so it's 11 years old.
Got 40,000 miles. This is 2018. This will be four full years for us in December, and I got about 40 on it. And I said, we're going to hang on to it until it didn't go anymore, I guess. I've looked at other cars, and I really haven't seen anything that was affordable that I thought I would, you know, trade for. My sister-in-law's got an Avalon. Hers is about 3 or 4 years old. And I like it pretty well, but I don't like it as much as I do the old ones. I think hers is probably a 2017. I don't like it as well as I do the older Avalons. The Camrys, my brother-in-law's wife has got a Camry hybrid, and they really like it. But it's one of the old ones, but it's a good driving car, and they get 50 miles to the gallon or so. But you're right, though, when the hybrid Toyotas and Hondas, when they both came out, originally they weren't that much better mileage-wise, fuel mileage-wise, than the standard gas engine.
You're quite correct. Maurice agreed with you on that, and I did too. We drove a new one a few years ago, and the one thing is I got in and knocked my hat off of my head. I don't like that, and it sounded more like the Camrys inside, you know, because the Avalon's extremely quiet, and I really love that part of it. As long as you keep good, high-quality tires on it, it's very, very quiet. You don't even realize your speed sometimes, and you got to watch that. But, yeah, she agrees with you wholeheartedly. Well, when they first come out, people that own the cleaners that Bernice sold alterations for had a hybrid Camry, and you know, it was, I think, rated 34 or 38, so yeah, you're exactly right. They weren't that much better at the time, but that's been many years ago, Jerry.
Part of the time is they've used the technology to power, sometimes they'll shut down when you're idling or, you know, when you're at a traffic light, and the gasoline engines have improved a lot too. The fuel efficiency on all the gas engines has just gotten so much better too, because a wife's little four-cylinder Civic, we get better gas mileage out of the Accord than we do the Civic, and it is a whole, it's a 2005, it's a whole lot smaller car than the Accord is. But my mother-in-law had a Cressida, a Toyota Cressida back in the 90s, and man, I tell you one thing, that was one of the nicest cars I ever sat in. It was just, it had immaculate interiors, leather, wood. I mean, it was more akin to what the Lexus was when it came out.
Yeah, I talked them down to Toyota of Greenville, and they've told me more than once, the technician says, you're driving a Lexus, you just don't have quite as much mahogany. And my daughter up in Michigan, she made the comment one time, she said, this thing's more like a limousine. It is nice. It's the limited one. But she had a leased, she's a school teacher, and she leased a Chevrolet Impala. Boy, really looked nice, but she had a lot of road clunkiness noise and things like that. But, you know, it was a good car, but as every time you pull up to a stop sign, the engine dies and then it restarts. I don't want that feature.
Just sounds like another situation where something could fail. Impalas look a lot like the Accords, but one of the guys I work with got one. By the way, he bought one about the time we got the Accord, and he's already looking to trade his. He didn't like it. It was noisy. And this Accord is pretty quiet. I would put it on the level of the Acura or the Avalon quiet, but as long as you keep those high-end Michelin, you know, those nice soft Michelin tires on it, it rides really good. My wife can't, when she drives, she just has to really watch it, because she just thinks, if you do 80 and it feels like you're doing 50 in the other cars, so I said, that's exactly right. It's real easy to get ahead and get, you know, pick up 8 or 10 miles an hour if you're not paying attention in zero TRM4 DJC.
You know, and once you use the repeater, just jump in there and we'll get out of the way. Jerry, that's exactly right on that speed. You can be running 80 and you don't even know it in this. In fact, you don't know it in 100, except the posts get a little fast. Out in Kansas, you could do that a little bit. We're nice and flat. You could see for miles. But very, very rarely have I ever done that. But at any rate, yeah, they're doing better, and the Priuses have been around for so many years. They're just good. Larry's got one. It's his wife's, I think, that's on here. And I can't think of his call right this second. But real soft-spoken, real nice gentleman. And they just love him. I mean, she said, I drove my first one 100,000 miles before I traded it in and never had a bit of problem with it. Toyota's good about that. They take things out and put them through the mill before they put them on the market. And quite back in the 80s, the U.S. Manufacturers were selling everything they put out there as fast as they could build it. And Toyota would come over and they'd try out a car for a couple of years before they put it on the market. And you know what? They got a reputation now.
Get a little bit of a break there in case something I wanted to get in. We bought our first Toyota in 1976. We had a little Corolla, four-door Corolla, four-speed. Had AC in it. I take it back. I don't know if it had AC in it or not, to be honest with you, Tom. But it was one of these little odd-looking green ones. Toyota used to, they had some of the weirdest colors. Either had like a tan or a brown and a green and some blues. They didn't have colors like they do now. The interiors were always kind of weird looking on the old ones. But it was a great car. We drove it for a long time. Then my father-in-law bought it from the dealership that I traded it into, and he my sister-in-law drove it back and forth to Athens for years, and it finally, they replaced a muffler on it. It's the only thing they ever did to it and sold it, and somebody else put another 100,000 or 200,000 miles on it. It may still be going somewhere if it hadn't rusted out.
Yeah, we had a little wagon. It was a Tercel, and it was four-wheel drive. The only thing bad about it was a 1.5-liter engine, and I think it had around 80 or 100 horse, and it was a dog. If you went to pass something, you better have a couple of football fields out there or forget about it and drop it into fourth gear. It wasn't turbocharged, and the very next year they come out with fuel injection and that, I think that's about when we bought our first one, Jerry, was back then. We bought a Toyota Corolla in Kansas City, Missouri, and I had a lot of fun with that guy up there. We had a wagon, Aspen, and went to trade it in, and it was in real good shape and fairly new, and he said, how much you take different there, Tom? And I said, oh, I'll trade you even up. I don't have a problem with that at all.
And those things I had a Tercel, too. I had a two-door, coupes or sedans or whatever. And that thing was mighty thin in the doors is all I know. It was, but I drove that thing. I put about 40,000 or 50,000 miles on it and sold it to a friend of mine. And he drove well past 100,000. But if you're right, that thing, it needs some help, needs some pushing help to pass somebody. That little rascal.
Yeah, those four-cylinder fuel-injected cars now are amazing, and especially if yours is turbocharged. I've been around so many years. When they first come out with turbochargers, I think it was Chrysler or Chrysler. I call them Chrysler. And they had a tendency to burn bearings out and things like that, but I'm sure they got that figured out now. Some of them's even water-cooled, I think. Jerry, we're pulling in at the fruit market here. Bernice just abruptly interrupted our trip. And so it's been great talking to you, and I really enjoyed it. And I'll let you go for now, and you have a great day, and we'll catch you down the line. N4DJC and 0TR73.
Tom, you and Bernice have a good afternoon. Yeah, this Accordia does have an intercooled turbo. The early ones were right. They spin about 100,000 RPM, and would burn the bushings or bearings or whatever they had in them out. But, anyway, listen, you guys have a good afternoon, and I'll catch you maybe a little bit later. Hopefully we'll be back in here by 5:30 or so with the grandkids. Otherwise, have a good day, and hope you find some good stuff to eat. And 0TR N4DJC clear.
KJ4CTD, signal check.
In case the whole call, but you sound good, the audio's good, you're full quieting. N4DJC.
All right, thank you, sir. KJ4CTD, clear.
KB4CBA mobile.